Buenas noches, Radiolandia. This is your host, Xochitl Bernadette Moreno, and I am coming to you from MacArthur Park, Los Angeles, Califatlan. And tonight, I am joined by the wonderful, the amazing, talented, yerbetera, seed saver, gardener, medicine maker, extraordinaire, Loba Loca. Loba, thanks for joining us today. How you feeling?
Pretty good, pretty good. It's nice to eat tacos with you. So,
so Radiolandia, we just got done with a beautiful summer day where we were processing some herbs from Loba's garden and rounded out the evening with some tacos here in the streets of LA. So just to paint a picture for you, there are people making food, eating food. We have 4 different salsas. We have pepino. We have cilantro. We have cebolla and al pastor. We're sitting here getting our bodies and our souls nourished. And in that spirit of summer, Loba, I thought since we spent the day processing herbs, that maybe we could talk about some of your favorite herbs that are in bloom right now. Some of your favorite medicines that you make or that other people might have around them that they can have access to too.
Let's see. I feel like it's hard to pinpoint one. I really like sunflowers. I haven't really used them medicinally more than like just eating the sunflower seeds. But I haven't taken it internally as in like a tea or a tincture. I have been trying to do some experimentation with the petals for dyeing, for cloth dyeing. But I haven't done that yet. It's been like in my radar. But I really just like the energy of sunflowers. It's like very much like opening and just like kind of following light, and I think are just like a really good communication plan. That's at least how I have experienced sunflowers. It's really good at kind of like allowing communication or just like being just very open, like to communicate. I don't know how to explain that, but yeah, I like that a lot. Then clary sage is one of the plants that we were processing today that just, you know, it was in bloom last month for me, and then this month has been kind of like drying off, seeding itself, but I really like the smell, so I love hydrosol. It's a really soothing, very mellow, soothing, calming hydrosol to use for like face toning, you know, to kind of like help with like the pH of the face, but also just like aromatherapy wise, I think it's very much kind of like clarifying and just like, but also calming. It's just like I really like it.
Yeah, I feel like I noticed that when we were working and processing it today, just that sense of grounding and calm that came from it, but also this refreshment. And I remember when your neighbor walked up saying that they could smell it down the street and that it kind of brightened up their day.
Yeah, no, clary sage is definitely like a very aromatic plant, and it grows very like wild. I mean, not necessarily in LA. I haven't seen it growing. Like alfalfa grows sometimes in like in the middle of a concrete or dandelion, but I feel like it's one of those plants that once it seeds, it just keeps on going.
And let's pause there for a moment and just talk about seeding, because I think this is something that for folks who maybe aren't gardeners or, you know, aren't always in touch with those cycles of perennials, annuals, how herbs and plants seed. Can you talk about just a quick little breakdown of annual versus perennial? Some of, you know, your maybe favorites in each category, and then this idea of seeding, plants seeding themselves.
So it's funny because I always confuse annuals and perennials all the time. I'm just like, it's just like a confusing terminology, but annuals, and please correct me if I'm confusing both of those terms, are plants that you would have to plant every year, right? So it's like a plant, for example, like clary sage that you have to, like, once the plant goes to seed, it kind of goes dormant. Actually, it's interesting because here in LA, what I have noticed is that my clary sage, like, the bottom of it, the bulb, sometimes stays alive, but it just doesn't flower until the next year. So, this is one, I guess it also might depend on, like, what kind of, like, what weather we're talking about. Like, some plants might be plants that would just, like, be alive and doing great the entire year if you live in a place like LA, but if you live in a place where there's like specific weather conditions, then you know sometimes you'll have to like replant again. And perennials are plants like rosemary or lavender, plants that you would plant once and then they would just kind of keep growing and thriving. But clary sage is one of those that after the flower blooms, it's a beautiful, beautiful flower that has very strong aromatics. Then you have the creation of the seed and the seed pod. And then that kind of like falls to the ground, even if you're not planning to replant them again. They just kind of like reseed themselves. And then that's kind of what we call seeding.
And then perhaps, you know, other plant allies that might be growing at this time of year that might help with some of these stresses. You know, recently, you know, in this country, it has been quite a trying time politically for our people. Not to say that that is anything different than the norm. You know, let's acknowledge the roots of this country were founded on imperialism and colonization and the oppression of our indigenous peoples. And so this is nothing new. And this idea of separating peoples that are indigenous to this continent from their families is no stranger to this country. Also, you know, the idea of the prison industrial complex and keeping kids in cages. This is also nothing new. But I think, you know, this debate coming back alive because of the egregious actions of the president to separate children from their families, you know, it has reinvigorated people's awareness around the topic. And these nearly 3,000 kids are going to be dealing with, and not just them, but entire communities are going to be dealing with this trauma, and us as people having to bear witness to such a trying time. Do you have herbs that help you kind of keep a clear head and find strength in these moments?
So, I mean, I guess it would depend on, like, you know, where we are, like, what we have access to. But for me, three of the plants that I have been connecting a lot with has been holy basil, tulsi, which is an adaptogenic, which is usually used to kind of, like, help the body through stress. So, like, plants are really good at nourishing the immune system or just kind of, like, making your body work in a way that while stress is there, like, you know, like, the plants are kind of supporting you work through it. And, you know, tulsi, holy basil will be one of them. And it also is growing just, like, beautifully in my garden. So it's definitely been one of those plants that I have been very much going to. It's also really good digestive. The seeds, you can soak them in water and then just drink them. And they create a film very similar to chia. So they're kind of, like, very good and soothing for the intestines. And just, that's one of the things that I feel like some of us might go through when we're feeling a lot of grief or even just witnessing and kind of like seeing our own like reality or like our own trauma reflected in what we're seeing in the media or what's happening in a bigger scale. Like sometimes like the digestive system is the first thing that shuts down or it's kind of like really hard to work with. So definitely holy basil and like the seed of holy basil has been really important for me lately. Then also passion flower. My passion flower is flowering finally after 3 years of waiting.
It's beautiful, Radiolandia. The passion flower is beautiful.
It's a really pretty plant. But, I mean, vine. But the one that I have in my home, it's not the regular maracuya. It's, like, a different type. I'm still trying to figure out what it is. I thought it was the Peruvian type that I brought from Peru. But I think that some other seed seeded that wasn't that one. So now I'm kind of trying to figure out what I have, like, what species I have. But the passion flower leaf is really good to kind of like just calm people down. It's also really good to kind of like get people to go to sleep. So it's just a really good one that for me, like, at least, you know, and this is a different species. Most of the time people use the Passiflora incarnata. That's the most widely used for like medicinal purposes. So I wanted to try and see if this one, you know, like what effect it had on my body. And I made a tea because I was like, oh no, we'll see. But it was in the middle of the day and I was like, fuck, I have so much shit to do. I have so much stuff to do. But I still took it, and then I was just like, wow, like I just want to go to sleep. So I think that it's a really good plan, at least for me. Like what it told me from just kind of drinking it at one time was like, oh shit, like sometimes you have to stop. So it's just like a really good reminder to like stop and take a moment and just like go to sleep, which is like such an important thing to do, and that I feel like a lot of folks in the world that are constantly being like traumatized and exploited like barely do, right? So I'm not saying that, you know, all people of color, like, we don't rest, because it really does depend on like what our economic, you know, like our whatever class background, like, you know, like what kind of work we do, like what kind of labor we do, whether we're undocumented or undocumented, whether we're like black, brown, like, you know, there's so many different intersections to who gets to rest and who doesn't. So I don't want to be like, oh, people of color, or, you know, like, don't get to rest. But I think just even just analyzing the ways in which the system really forces some folks to work more than others and not rest is just a way of, you know, it's a health inequality. Like, rest is so important. It's like extremely important, and you know, a lot of folks don't have access to that, right? So I think that passion flower is just a really good plan that, like, at least what it told me, it's like, you can rest, like, just rest, you know. So it was just like a really good reminder plan to sometimes stop, especially because I feel like there's a lot of guilt around even being able to sleep in a home, right? So I feel like a lot of times I feel very guilty about even having basic human needs, you know. So I feel like the plan was really good at kind of like reminding me, like, you know, like, well, you can rest, like, you should just rest, like, if you have the privilege to do it, like, go ahead and do it. So I think it's just like a good plan to kind of like reality check in that sense. And the last one will be elderflower. I've been connecting a lot with elderflower lately. My elder is finally like flowering abundantly, and usually people drink the elderberry syrup, which is very much like berry based, but the flower itself, it has also a lot of medicine. And you know, most of the time people use it to kind of like aid with fevers, menstrual cramps, but even just there's a lot of folklore around elder being like a very protective bush, and also just having a deep connection between life and death. So kind of like has like a very mystic feel to it, but I think that it's just very tender, like, especially the flowers to me are just very tender. So just even looking at them has been like a way to kind of find tenderness, or being like, you know, like, there is all of this tenderness in the world that we really have to kind of like look for sometimes when we're dealing with so much like violence.
Thank you for those reflections and for sharing that, because, you know, these are plants that we, you know, often have around us and have not too far away or can get access to. Radiolandia, I want to remind you that we're talking with Loba Loca. Loba Loca shares on Instagram. And Loba is a medicine maker, seed saver, curandera, yerbetera, here in Los Angeles. And so if folks do check out your Instagram or your website, they might see some of your amazing products. So everything from medicine to like gear, like cool shirts, cool bags. I just picked up one today, that's talking about brujas feministas, abuelas feministas are the reason that we are all alive today, and affirming the role that plant medicine and that particularly women and femmes and trans folks have played in our survival and keeping us alive by having a connection to medicine and making medicine accessible to all. And that's one of the things that I really appreciate about what you do. And then there's another shirt that just came out that I really liked. Can you tell us about that shirt?
So it was a very controversial shirt. I almost got banned from Instagram. And it says, "It's okay to hate men." And it started as a post that I did, and a lot of people liked and related. And I think it's just, to me, it was kind of like, sometimes I feel like people need the permission. So sometimes, like, because we've been raised in ways in which we're always kind of like waiting for permission to feel a certain way, you know, like a lot of people were like, "Oh shit, like, thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying it's okay to hate men." So a lot of folks like reacted positively about it, but then I started getting flagged. So it was like 4 days that I was trying to repost it and like kept getting flagged. So I decided to make a shirt out of it, but then the shirt would keep getting flagged. So it's kind of just like in my big cartel. So laloaloca.bigcartel.com, that's where you can find it. And now I also have totes because the person that's doing my printing didn't get the order right. But there will be totes now because of that. Yeah, I think it's interesting because I've said a lot of stuff on my Instagram, from like, it's okay to hate the police, it's okay to hate white people, to like, you know, very like my stance, which is very much around like really realizing that heterosexuality and even monogamy are very much imposed on us, like on all of us. So even though like I've talked about a bunch of stuff, it was interesting how this one, you know, like little writing that I did around like it's okay to him and got so much hate, right? So, you know, to me it's just very interesting because it just goes to show how patriarchy is so embedded in all of us. And I honestly don't know who's the one reporting it, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's a woman, like, you know. And I feel like, unfortunately, the way in which patriarchy works is that sometimes like even like people that are not cis dudes uphold that so strongly that that's how, you know, we end up living in a patriarchal society in which we don't even need men to like oppress each other because we got each other, right? So we don't even need cops because we are each other's cops, right? So I think that was very interesting. But to me, like, the idea of like it's okay to hate men, it was really to like allow people to understand that it's totally okay to hate men. Like, you don't have to love your dad, you don't have to, you know, love every single man, you don't have to forgive men, like you don't have to feel, you know, like any type of like positive anything towards men. Like, it's completely okay to hate men, right? So, and it's not necessarily like an invitation to like, oh, hate all men, which I still don't think that, I don't see nothing wrong with that, because it's very, it's all about like systems of power at the end of the day. And it's just like, sure, I can say it's, you know, hate white people, but like that's not going to kill white people, right? But if white people were to say kill all or hate all brown people or like hate black people, like that will kill black people, that will kill brown people, right? So it's all about like a power, just like a power dynamic, right? So for me, as somebody that doesn't necessarily like rip off from patriarchy like directly, for me to say it's okay to hate men is just kind of like stance against the ways in which we have been taught to love, nurture, give our souls to men, give our souls to patriarchy, like feed them before we feed ourselves, like love them till the end of times, even though we're just bleeding out. So to me, it was kind of like a way to just like let folks know that it's totally okay to hate men. And especially because I feel like there are so many people out there that are, and like, you know, we're all brought up to like love men and invest in men, even if we're not necessarily like romantically or sexually or like attracted to men, like even if we're like queer or whatever it is, whatever like non-heterosexual, non-cis heterosexual like identity we want to place in ourselves, like the way that the world works is very much like it's just very much made to kind of like center men and their needs and just their their labor and their, you know, just like center that. So it was kind of like an invitation to decenter and to start really analyzing like our relationship to men and like the importance of divesting from men and divesting from even like toxic masculinity or even divesting from masculinity. Like even in queer circles, one of the things that we see a lot is like mass people getting like a lot of like emotional labor, like a lot of just like time and energy, because there is like this weird, like this weird desire to like center masculinity and center men, right? So I feel like it was also, it wasn't just specifically talking about like cis men, but I think to me it was also talking about like masculinity and like the ways in which like divesting from masculinity and divesting from men is important.
It certainly is. And I think, as you say, giving permission to even have these thoughts and then to be able to vocalize them, and really important to flip the power structure. And, you know, critics may say, well, why do we have to hate anyone? But I think it's this idea of really coming to it from a liberatory space, and understanding that through the liberation of women, of femmes, of trans, of queer folks, that through just creating an opportunity to flip the power dynamic, that that makes everyone else stronger.
And I think it's also just the narrative that I honestly don't like is when people are like, oh, you're so hateful, or like, oh, this is hate speech. And it's like, it's not hate speech if whoever is saying it, it's like at the bottom of the power structure. Like, it is hate speech if like a white person goes out and starts speaking about white power, or like starts speaking about, you know, like whatever, or if a rich person goes out and it starts talking down on poor folks and working folks, or if, you know what I mean, like if heterosexual people start talking down on like queer folks, or cis people start talking about trans folks, you know. So it's really about just, again, power dynamics. Like, it's not hate speech if I, as a person that has been like pretty much like my entire life, has to suffer the consequences of living in a patriarchal society that I hold a lot of privileges within myself, but when it comes to like patriarchy, you know what I mean, like even stepping out of in the street, or like even trying to get a job, or even just trying to do anything, it is something that is constantly in your head, you know, the ways in which like patriarchy is so embedded like in our families, in ourselves, in our interpersonal relationships, etc. But yeah, so even just like thinking and like really understanding that hate speech cannot happen if the people that are being oppressed are the ones that are quote unquote hating on the oppressor. And also just hate, like I feel like a lot of times people are like, don't necessarily think, they're always very much like, oh, love is the fuel of everything, you know what I mean? And like, sure, what does love mean though? And also to me, a lot of times, like, hate has been very much like a moving force, just like hating something, like hating the police, hating the state, hating white supremacy, like that has been like a moving force. So I feel like hate can be one of those kind of like fire, you know, like I feel like it's like a very fire component of it, at least for me, which is like very much about transformation, because it's like you're not just hating something just to hate, you know, you're hating it because you see people that are being hurt by it, but like you see yourself being hurt by it. So it's very much about, like, you know, I feel like to me it just has like a very much like, it just has helped me move a lot, it has helped me do a lot and create a lot. So I don't necessarily think of hate as something necessarily bad, but I think of it as just like an, just allowing myself to feel feelings and then to kind of like figure out what to do with them.
Well, and understanding the duality in anything, light has darkness, seeds germinate in darkness, you know, there is always this continual balance. And well, talking about darkness, it's pretty dark out, and coming back to that earlier idea around wanting to understand that it's okay to take a rest. I won't keep you too much longer, Loba.
About trans folks, you know, so it's really about just, again, power dynamics. Like, it's not hate speech if I, as a person that has been like pretty much like my entire life, has to suffer the consequences of living in a patriarchal society that I hold a lot of privileges within myself, but when it comes to like patriarchy, you know what I mean, like even stepping out of in the street, or like even trying to get a job, or even just trying to do anything, it is something that is constantly in your head, you know, the ways in which like patriarchy is so embedded, like in our families, in ourselves, in our interpersonal relationships, etc., etc., etc. But yeah, so even just like thinking and like really understanding that hate speech cannot happen if the people that are being oppressed are the ones that are quote unquote hating on the oppressor. And also just hate, like I feel like a lot of times people are like, don't necessarily think, they're always very much like, oh, love is the fuel of everything, you know what I mean? And like, sure, what does love mean though? And also to me, a lot of times, like hate has been very much like a moving force, just like hating something, like hating the police, hating the state, hating white supremacy, like that has been like a moving force. So I feel like hate can be one of those kind of like fire, you know, like I feel like it's like a very fire component of it, at least for me, which is like very much about transformation, because it's like, you know, you're just hating something just to hate, you know, you're hating it because you see people that are being hurt by it, but like you see yourself being hurt by it. So it's very much about, like, you know, I feel like to me it just has like a very much like, it just has helped me move a lot, it has helped me do a lot and create a lot. So I don't necessarily think of hate as something necessarily bad, but I think of it as just like an, just allowing myself to feel feelings and then to kind of like figure out what to do with them.
Well, and understanding the duality in anything, light has darkness, seeds germinate in darkness, you know, there is always this continual balance. Well, talking about darkness, it's pretty dark out, and coming back to that earlier idea around wanting to understand that it's okay to take a rest. I won't keep you too much longer, Loba. But maybe just a last comment for Radiolandia, and about this idea of dream space or of. Just the ability to, whether it's in your nighttime dreams, in your waking dreams, to be able to be brave enough to see the future that you want, or to create the life that we know is possible. And I feel like you're someone that really, at least externally, embodies this idea, and for me, allows me the space to dream. Do you have any kind of last words of inspiration for Radiolandia?
I'm like, I want to be positive, but also it's just hard because I feel like, I think that it's been just really hard even just for myself to even think about, you know, the future, and just like thinking about the future in ways that, okay, sure, like, you know, I do want to own land, but at the same time, like, owning land, it's horrible, like that whole thing should be completely abolished, like you can't really own land, like whose land are you standing on? So I feel like it's just been really hard to also try to, you know, just come, because I grew up, like my political awakening and just how I was a couple of years ago, not even that long, was very much like very radical, very like anti-capitalist, like anti-everything, and I still have that positioning, but I feel like now being 28, which is really not that much older, just like understanding that we still live in a capitalist system, and that how do we make like our life sustainable, or like how do we even like envision a future in which like we're elders and we're taken care of, you know, just seeing so many elders like thrown out in the street because of the way that, you know, this super ageist society works, like, you know, like especially being self-employed, like, you know, like in what ways am I moving my money in smart ways? So I feel like definitely Cardi B has been an inspiration around like making money moves and just being very smart about how you're investing and how you're kind of like moving around and really like kind of like creating your own future. But at the same time, it's like, like that's me, but then also part of me is very much like, okay, but in what ways is this upholding capitalism? Like it is, it totally is. So it's just kind of like hard to play with them, you know, both of them. And also, I don't know, for me, one of the things is like, great, so you know, once like I'm able to get this, which is, you know, one of the things that is in my head has been just being able to own land, so I can have like my own, or just not even like a huge pot of land, but just like a home in a place that I can just kind of do my own gardening and just have like the freedom of kind of like using it as a work and leave space. Just in what ways to also redistribute that wealth or that privilege in ways that also make sense to me, right? Because I feel like sometimes like this idea of like co-op living is like very like, you know, like a lot of my friends have them, and then I've lived in co-ops before and that does not work for me, right? I'm kind of one of those like, the way that I think of it,
lone wolves.
Yeah. Definitely. Like, I don't like being with little people. I hate it when people are just around. Like, when I go out, I prepare myself mentally. I'm going to be around people. Like, I'm super extroverted. But most of the time, I just like being by myself in my own space. Nobody touch my shit. So, it's me and my dogs. But yeah. So, I feel like it's just also very hard. Because, especially with the housing crisis, I think it's a major issue, right? So one of the things that we're seeing is just the lack of affordable housing, or even just like housing that allows for people that don't have a credit score, don't have like a quote-unquote regular job, don't have, you know, all of these things that you need to get a house or even to live somewhere. So it's just been like a lot of like reimagining, like, okay, cool, so once I get this, once I'm able to have like this, like, how do I make sure that I am able to like share the wealth, right? And like, what happens after? Because one of the things I was thinking too is like, what happens after I die? Like, who ends up getting this home? Like, do I really want this to be like a family member? Because that's also how, you know, wealth, like, it's passed down. It's like very much, you know, like when somebody dies, like, you know, whoever comes after like gets that. And that's also how wealth is just, what's it called, concentrated, right? So it's also just thinking about like, even just like after I'm dead, like what will happen to that land, and like, you know, the ways in which is like, great, I can't really escape capitalism, but you know, like what can I create that makes more sense? I don't know.
Well, you're creating so much, and it's incredibly inspiring and uplifting, and it just reeks of self-determination. So, Radiolandia, if you'd like to follow Loba's work, get connected, tell them how they can do that.
So you can email me, contact@laloaloca.com. You can find me on Instagram. A lot of the most updated stuff I have is on Instagram. So it's @laloaloca_shares. Then I have a Facebook, laloaloca. And then laloaloca.com, which is my website. I don't really update it that much, but Instagram is probably the best bet.
Bueno, pues, adelante, Loba. Thank you for your time today. And thank you for the way that you walk in the world.
Thank you.
Bueno, Radiolandia. I am your host, Xochitl Bernadette Moreno. Thank you for tuning in to this week's edition of Radio Olin here on KPFA's La Onda Bajita.